It's good to be here today. It's good to see everyone here. A lot of people I haven't seen for a while, but you know what? I'm glad we could all be here together to study God's Word. My good friend Stephen alluded to the fact that I was a teenager quite some time ago. But in my own estimation, it only seems like yesterday that I was where you were today. Crazy, rambunctious, thought I knew it all, but I made it through. So there's hope for you guys too. And yeah, we go way back here. I've been a member. I was a member here for a while, and actually Stephen and a few of you were in my Bible classes as teenagers. And to me, that was a very rewarding time to see what you've done with yourselves and your involvement. And let's see. That's pretty much it. What we want to talk about today is premarital sex. Premarital sex. And I have a couple of definitions that I want to go with you. First of all, premarital. Pre. What does that mean? Before. Let's see if I can spell. Marital. Marital. There we go. Okay. What is it? Marital? Marriage? I know how to spell this word. There we go. Okay. Sex. We'll get into that. But anyway, before marriage, sex. That's what premarital sex is. Let me give you a couple of facts. Fact, the devil is and will use any means to cause us to be lost in hell for eternity. The devil uses all sorts of devices to influence young people to engage in premarital sex. Here's another fact, the devil is not your friend. Amen. So we find out that premarital sex is sex before marriage. Another word we want to define, because we have to today, is marriage. All right. God, man, woman. Marriage. It's an institution that's created by God, and we find that this institution was so important that when did God start this institution of marriage? From the very beginning. What did he say? He says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto him his wife. We find out that God had placed this institution, this divine institution that was alluded to before, at the very beginning. We have to understand that this marriage institution is extremely important. And we also find out that the M stands for what? Man. W stands for woman. Today, you have my two dads, my mom and her girlfriend. You have these situations, and you have cities that are wholeheartedly saying men can marry men and women can marry women. But the Bible says that from the very beginning, man, and who did he bring before man? Woman. Woman. Okay, and yeah, I wanted to keep this up here. Because, yes, boom, all right, you see the cartoons, you know, hey, when a man sees a woman, he jumps out of his skin, okay? And also, marriage is for life. Okay, let's talk about that. Oh, there's one thing marriage is for as well, and we're going to be covering this a lot. Marriage is for enjoyment. Marriage is not a ball and chain. Marriage is for enjoyment. And we're talking about enjoyment, we're talking about now, we're going to cover this very sensitive topic number two, about premarital sex. Okay, we find out that marriage is a holy union that is sanctioned by God himself. That's why God's at the top there, by the way, because what God has joined together, let no man put us under, we know that. And so we need to keep that in mind. I have a couple more terms that we want to discuss. The next term we want to talk about is hormones. And pretty much my definition of hormones for today is something that young people have in great abundance. You have a lot of hormones. Now, I want to kind of like, I call it the vitamin K factor. Do you know what that is? Maybe you don't know what that is. But did you know that boys are to be circumcised on the eighth day? Do you know why that is? Because on the eighth day is the day that they will produce the most vitamin K, which helps to clot the blood. It's to the tune of 300% above normal. Now, hormones in teenagers is about 3,000%. Okay. I don't really know what that number is, but it seems like that's what it is. Okay? I don't know. All right. Sex. Now we're coming back to this one. Sex is a gift from God. It is a gift given for procreation. It is a gift for mutual enjoyment. It is a gift of deep communication between a married man and a married woman. It is a gift not to be taken lightly. It is a gift not to be held back. It is a gift to strengthen relationships, but it's also a gift with heavy restrictions. Who is allowed to have sex in the eyes of God? You can tell me. Husband and wife. Okay, that's it. Anything outside of that is considered premarital sex, and there are other things, but we're talking about premarital sex today. Here's another fact. Sex is something too deep for young people to frivolously engage in. Basically, the way Jared put it, regarding that 14-year-old, sex is out of your league. You have no business even going there. I was struggling with this word all week. Statistics on teen sex. Did you know? These are statistics, so take them for what they're worth, okay? Nationally, more than half the teenagers are virgins until they are at least 17. Half are virgins until they're 17. What happened to the other half, by the way? That was my first question when I saw that. And another thing that we want to realize, and we don't want to shy away from, is the fact that there are teens in the church who have either engaged in sex or are currently sexually active. We can't shy away from that. That's why we're here. That's why you young people are here right now, to open your eyes and to realize and to understand that this is happening. Okay, and it's something that we cannot turn our backs on. We can't close our eyes and say, oh, it's happening out there, but it's not happening here. Just look around. Because there are some young people who are pregnant or have children, and where are they? They're in the church. Misconception. All teens are having sex. We're going to touch on that a little bit more, but that's something that the world is throwing in your face every day. Everybody's doing it. That's not true. And we're going to talk about that. So for the remainder of this lesson, we're going to focus on five questions mainly. Question number one, why are so many teens engaging in premarital sex? Two, what is the impact or consequences of premarital sex? Three, what does the Word of God have to say about premarital sex? Four, how can teens avoid premarital sex? And then five, what does God say about sex in general? Okay, so number one, why are so many teens engaging in premarital sex? I think Brother Jared had really touched on the pornography issue, and I think he did it in a great way. And he did cover some parts of my lesson, but that's okay. I can repeat it because, hey, it's a good reminder. So why do teens engage in premarital sex? Curiosity, The curiosity is aroused. Violence, influence, which covers peer pressure, the media, and the radio. Curiosity. They hear about this thing called sex. Everyone who has tried it says, it's great. And honestly, it is. They see it on the TV. They see it at the movies. They hear it in song. Some people engage in sexual activity due to violence. Another study says in the U.S., 7 in 10 women who have had sex before age 14 and 6 in 10 of those who had sex before age 15 reported having sex involuntarily. And I want to just segue just a little bit back to this picture that Jared so beautifully, I told someone that I would add arms because they said that was one thing that was missing. But, all right, now she's got arms. Now she's, you're right. Okay. Fancy hairdo there. Got her hair did, now we're all set up. Okay, men, the reason why, men their sexual urges are 7 to 9 times that of a woman. Okay, and so this is why the study involves women, and when we talk about involuntary sex, we're basically talking about rape. Okay, why do teens, and what happens is when at that point, there's so many things that can happen to them. I can't cover all that today, but let's keep on going for a moment, and we'll talk about influence. We need to concentrate here just for a moment, because really, the fuel for most, if not all, reasons why teens engage in premarital sex has to do with influence. And what you need to know is that the spiritual battlefield has never, ever been the body. It has never been the body, but it's been that little glove that he drew up here that represents the way we think. That's always been the battlefield. Take this for instance. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Matthew 15:19. What did Jesus say? He said, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, which covers what? Premarital sex. The action of the flesh is simply the extension of the thoughts that came before it. They're called involuntary things that our body does, and there are things that our body does that are voluntary. When you think about doing something, whether it's right or wrong, what was the first thing you did? I just said the word. You thought about it. Think. It starts here, and it ends up here. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so when we look at influence, we look at peer pressure. Girls, we're made up. Boys, men and women, boys and girls are made different. I would have told them that for 10,000. 5,000. Okay, they are, but also their minds are different too. Did you know that that's why the devil went to Eve? Because he knew she thought different. And when you think about women or girls who engage in premarital sex, the target of their thinking, of their psyche, has to deal with the emotion. It's the emotional part. You know, it's like, how do they do it? Don't you love me? I thought you loved me. If you love me. How long have we been together? Haven't I showed you that I'm committed to this relationship? Trust me. It's going to be all right. How do you girls fall for that stuff? I used to hear that guy talking on the phone. What do I say? Oh, say this. Blah, 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 blah. All right, baby. Yeah, I'm like, she fell for that? But see, the target of a woman's psyche is her emotion. Okay, and girls, that's what you got to watch out for. Yeah, hey, you know what? It doesn't matter what your status is in life, if you're rich or poor, a guy can still talk you into doing stuff. That's what we can do. We have that ability, and we know how to get into your mind and get into those emotions, stir you up, and get what we want. That's why we have this process. That's what we're talking about, because it happens. Okay? You got to understand, they hit you with those emotional things, okay? And you got to be careful. It happens all the time. Boys, you know how you're affected? You're affected by your ego. Just look at me. Yeah. Oh, man. You know what? All of a sudden, you had sex? No, I'm still a virgin. You ain't had none yet? You're still a virgin? Hey, fellas, he's still the V word. Okay. You're feeling all like, you're starting to feel all uncomfortable now, because all of a sudden now you've been exposed. You're that virgin guy. You've never, done any of that. All of a sudden now, see, your ego is affected. Oh, then you want to try to pump up your reputation. Okay? And then, what do the girls do to you? I thought you were man enough. Hurts. That hurts. Even saying it hurts me. Okay? I thought you were man enough. Hey, you know what? Come on. But that's what happens. You know what? As a matter of fact, don't think because girls fall for those lines that you're out of the woods. Because you know what? Like Jared said, like that picture says right there, men are much more heavily affected by sex. And if you look in the book of Proverbs, how many chapters in Proverbs say this? My son, look out for that woman. Watch out, because when she whips off that scarf and pulls you over to her, and you're all, okay, you're all like this. You know what? That's why our good friend Joseph went, pew! Okay, he ran away from the situation he was getting caught up in. He ran from it. And that's what happens. Guys, we have that biological urge in us. We've got to watch out. Okay, so let's talk about some more stuff. Media. Fact, Hollywood is not your friend. Sexual content is regularly marketed to young people. Just like Jerry's telling you, where do you think they get old smokers from? By targeting the youth. Like right now, let me just read this thing. It says, according to the fact sheet, marketing sex to children are bombarded with sexual content messages. In 2003, 83% of the episodes of the top 20 shows among teen viewers contained some sexual content, including 20% with sexual intercourse. On average, music videos contain 93 sexual situations per hour, including 11 hardcore scenes depicting behaviors such as intercourse and oral sex. Abercrombie and Fitch, you ever heard of those guys, those clothiers? Do not open that stupid catalog. But they sold a marketed line of thong underpants decorated with sexually provocative phrases such as wink wink and eye candy to 10-year-olds. Thongs, eye candy, wink wink. My daughter is not going to wear those things. I'm going to tell you right now. I've got girls. I've got a bunch of them. Okay. And so when I'm reading this stuff, hey, I'm telling you. You are not going to wear those things. All right. Okay, that's enough. Okay. Radio. Top 20 songs on the chart. How many of the top 20 songs of the chart do not contain sexual lyrics? Can you name a song besides the Barney song that you sing or that you've got a beat in your mind that does not allude to sex? What about that guy named 2 Cent? Oh, 50 Cent. Thank you. Yeah, 50. I call him 2. He ain't even worth 2 cents. Right now, as soon as I said it, how many thought of a 50 Cent song? How many of you thought of one for real? Come on. All right? And you know what? That was actually I heard his song first time when I was at the mall, a place that I really hate to go anyway, but I was in a clothing store looking for something for my wife, and I heard blah 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 blah. I was like, and I'm going, what? And I'm looking around, there's these little kids and this mom and teenagers all around, and they're singing these sexually explicit songs, and it really appalled me to hear that. But you know what, honestly, it's not just rap. Check out rock, some jazz, country, they all have sexual content. Okay, and you, one thing you guys have to understand is this, that all this, the battlefield is the mind. And all of those things that Hollywood is pushing on you, the sexual images, the words that you hear, they're all meant to do one thing, and that's to influence you. And because we're talking about influence of premarital sex, there's a big drive in this country. This country has a phenomenon of the fact that we are really pushing, we in general, meaning this country, are pushing sex to teens. Did you know that in the 50s, there was, the moral value of this country was so much higher than it is today? Amen. When you talked about divorce, she's divorced. Ooh. Stay away. Ooh. Oh yeah, by the way, she's got a baby out of wedlock. Those are very heavy duty things. Premarital sex, they talked about being a virgin. Okay? A virgin. They pushed that a lot. They talked about the marriage for life. A lot of things. All of a sudden, the 60s came and boom, blew that right out of the water. You can pinpoint when this country just took a wrong turn. And it's taking another bad turn when it comes to the internet. And my brother Jared was so effective in his allusion to the net and about pornography. But pornography is readily available whether you want it or not. It is. It comes to you in email. Oh, I'm so lonely. Why don't you just go ahead and click on this link and come over and see my website. Maybe we can chat and talk about stuff. Yeah, right. You know, when Jared singled me out when he was talking about the internet, is because he knows that I'm an internet professional. So we'll just take a square moment for a second just to explain something to you. When you see those stupid emails, they usually have a virus payload in them anyway. They're meant to for you to open them up. And yeah, you see this picture, but inside of that picture is something that actually is out to take over your machine. Just so you know. Okay, and we do this stuff. I work for a company that does this stuff all the time. Hacks companies. And these are the things that we just know. And it's really scary. It's actually a very scary thing right now to actually be on the net. You need to watch out for the websites you go to, because they push virus payload right into your browser, turning your machine into a zombie to do stuff that you don't even know about. That's what they do. That's what they do. It's worse. It's getting worse and worse every day. But the accessibility to pornography, that stuff hurts your mind. And it's a big reason why you see a lot of people turning to sex and trying to satisfy the curiosity, because pornography is right there in your face. And boys, you're the ones who really need to be careful with it. You really do. And if you've been on the internet, you may have seen one, and you need to just do something, get it out of there, or do something. And parents, I'm just going to go ahead and quickly say something to you. There's some things you need to seize control of in the house. Seize control of the remote. It's your house. I don't care if they bought the TV. Amen. Okay, I don't care if they bought the radio. I don't care if they bought that stinking computer. Okay? It's your house. It's your rules. Seize the remote. Seize control of the internet. Control what they see. Seize control of the radio. Okay, because all of those things are meant to influence you in such a way to do something that you normally wouldn't do. So, what is the impact of the consequences of premarital sex? I got some top 10 reasons here There's a bunch of good stuff on. There's actually good stuff on the net too, by the way. A lot of good stuff. Okay, we have top 10. The risk of death. HIV, AIDS. We all know those things. The risk of lost relationships. Oh, baby, come here, girl. Look, let me tell you something. You know, me and you, you know, we're like this. Come on, let's just, you know, spend a little bit of quality time over here in my room. What happens? It happens. He's gone. Risk of lost relationships. Oh, relationships, you know what? When you do stuff, remember, you're not only affecting yourself, but you're affecting people around you. You're affecting your relationships with your family, with your friends, with the people you go to church with. All of those things are affected. The risk of incurable diseases. AIDS kills. Herpes is with you for life. The risk of damaging the destiny of your future marriage. Man, if I could just help you to understand that sex is not for you until you're married. You could avoid that. The risk of damaging permanently your relationship to Christ, your reputation as a Christian among people. The risk of depression. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. The risk of placing your future children in a spiritually harmful situation. Baby mama, baby daddy is exploding in this country. And you know what's happening to the family structure in this country? It's going down. Mother, father, kids. People are trying to push that out of you. Society is trying to tell you that that's not good enough anymore. But that's not true. Because this father, mother, children, let me tell you something. You need mom and dad. You need them both. We both bring something to the table to help you to develop and to become a child or a person who does not have as many issues. Okay? And when you have baby mama, baby daddy, you're taking something away from that child. Okay? You're putting yourself at risk of sending your own child to hell. Why? Because engaging in premarital sex, having a baby, that's, you know what? Yeah, you know what? And the kids that have had children, they will tell you that it's a lot of work. And believe me, if it ever happened in my house, yes, your baby. You're going to take care of that baby, and you are going to understand how hard it is to raise a child. You are going to understand how difficult the job of a parent is when we're looking at our children and we're trying to show them as much love as possible. We're trying to do a good job raising our kids. But you know what? Sometimes I feel that's not enough. If you think you're doing a good job, you better think again and try to do even better, because the stakes are way too high. Risk of depression, risk of sexual dysfunction. Oh man, rape really does that too. And just the fact that all of a sudden you're awakened and this whole thing of sex, the risk of shame, and the big one, the risk of disobeying God and letting Satan get a foothold. Yeah, once you got, the sex thing is so strong. That's why Jared called it a drug. Well, he called pornography a drug, but the fact is that it's driven because of our sexual urges. So, impact of consequences of premarital sex. How about guilt, regret, addiction, and depression? Sexual activity among teenagers is a major driving factor behind the well-publicized problems of high incidence of teenage STDs, pregnancy, suicide. Okay, and then there's a paper that says this analysis is presented, and this paper also shows that sexual activity is directly connected to substantial problems among teens regarding emotional health. Teenagers of both genders who are sexually active are substantially less likely to be happy and more likely to be depressed than are teenagers who are not sexually active. Teenagers of both genders who are sexually active are substantially more likely to attempt suicide than are teenagers who are not sexually active. Okay. guilt and depression. How about this scenario? You thought this guy or girl was the only one for you. So you put out and you got nothing in return. But heartache and pain. And now you aren't together anymore, but the urge for sexual contact is strong in you. And you must continue to feed this hunger that you have awakened in your body. But you're a young person brought up attending worship on a regular basis. You have heard the sermons. You have attended the Bible class warning you about the problems associated with sex. But you still don't get it. Now that you are sexually active, you realize that most likely you are going to continue to engage in this behavior because you have been awakened. Now you feel like a hypocrite and say to yourself and to the congregation, I really feel like a hypocrite. I need to go and find myself. That's a lot of young, you know what? One of the consequences of doing premarital sex and continually doing it, because you know you want to continue to do it, is a lot of young people leave the church. And why do they leave the church? Because they feel bad about it. But then all of a sudden, oh, I feel like a hypocrite and I need to go find myself. Okay. So what does the devil say? He says, gotcha. All I need now is for you just to go out there, leave the confines of the church, be isolated, so I can get you one-on-one. But just remember this. And I'm going to just say, the reason why I'm saying this, young people, because maybe there's someone in the audience right now who's going through that, who's feeling like a hypocrite because of the fact that they know that they should not be engaging actively in sexual relations before marriage, but they're doing it. Don't leave the church. Okay, get a hold of yourself and do not leave the hospital. Do not leave intensive care. Don't pull the tubes out and walk out the hospital looking for a cure because it's not out there. You just left intensive care. You've left life support. You stay there in that church. You stay there in that congregation and you find some help and you figure out what you need to do. That's really what you need to do. Okay, that's how you get a hold of it. You know, the older folks, oh man, the wisdom you can gain from them. Okay? There's a lot. They can, you know, talk. That's why we have people who are elders. Because we need to talk to someone who's been there, done that, who knows the ropes. You need some help. Don't leave the church. Get help. Oh, and this. My parents were right. Again. Hey, believe that. Oh, here's another thing. Disease. Okay, sexually transmitted diseases among teens. Oh, here's a big statistic, and I hope it's not true, but it says 1 in 4 sexually active teens become infected with an STD every year. Okay, that actually translates into about 8,000 teenagers a day. Which, and I start breaking stuff down, that's about 30 every hour, somewhere in there, 30 now. So by the time we're done with this lesson, at least 15 kids have just contracted a sexually transmitted disease. By the time we're done with this day, there you go, it's a lot. Okay, pregnancy. Nearly 1 million young women under age 20 have become pregnant each year. About 2,800 teens get pregnant every day. It's a lot of teens every day. 2,800 teens get pregnant every day? 4 in 10 young women in the U.S. become pregnant at least once before turning 20 years old. That's a very high statistic. And as you know what? And these are stats from 1996. Okay? What do you think? Is it getting worse or better? It's getting worse. It is. Teen childbearing costs a lot of money, to the tune of $7 billion a year. Here's another consequence of premarital sex. We talked about it. It's the breakdown of the family structure as we know it. Baby mama, baby daddy. If you have a child out of wedlock, you have a very serious obligation to take care of that child, baby daddy. You need to be a man you got that girl pregnant, you need to take care of that child. I'm not, you know, and there are things that people say, you know, and also back in the day, if you got a girl pregnant, it used to be, okay, you're going to marry, you two are going to marry. But you know what? I'm not even going there. Okay, because you know what? Chances are the person that people trying to force you to marry because you got pregnant is probably not the person for you in the first place because they got you in that position. Okay, and not only that, and you got yourself in that position. Okay, and as the saying goes, as the family goes, so goes the nation. Look at our nation right now. It's going crazy. Another consequence is destruction. Revelation 21:8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderous, sexually immoral, that's the one right there, premarital sex, shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is a second death. Fornication, premarital sex, will cause destruction. Read Revelation 21:7 through 9. And here's what Revelation 22:15 says. But outside are dogs, sorcerers, and sexually immoral. Outside of where? Outside of the heavenly gates. So if you're not in heaven, where are you? Say it. You're in hell. That's what's waiting for people who are committing premarital sex. Jude 1:7. As Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities around them, in similar manner, these having given themselves over to sexual immorality, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. That's what the Bible says. You know what else? The Word of God has even more to say about premarital sex. 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the what? Kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, which happens to talk about premarital sex, they won't inherit the kingdom of God either. And a whole slew of others, but we're talking about premarital sex. 2 Corinthians 12. Lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication which they have practiced. Now the Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, on down the road, etc., etc., of which I told you beforehand, just as also I told you in the past, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Ephesians 3:3, but fornication and all uncleanliness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. For you know this, that no fornicator has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators, those who commit premarital sex, God will judge. Acts 15:29, that you abstain from sexual immoralities. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. How about this one? Now, as the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I take then the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day fell 23,000. 1 Corinthians 10:8. Those are the consequences. So, you see all the consequences associated with premarital sex. See right now, but see what you need to understand is that all the songs, the movies, the videos, they're pointing you into one thing. And you know what? Let me just tell you this: the Disney Channel is guilty too. Mm-hmm. Don't even kid yourself for one second. Oh, the Disney Channel? What are you talking? Oh yeah, did you know that? How about this? You know, I see one show. I forgot what it was called, but some girl, you know, she went out on the date. And, the guy she just met for the first time, she was a teenage girl. What did she engage in as soon as they had a chance? Boom! They were kissing. You know, and when I say kissing, I'm talking about kissing as a prelude to sex. Disney Channel. You think the Disney Channel is teaching morals? Fooling yourself. Parents, check the Disney Channel real careful when you tell me. Okay, yeah, we talked about a little bit about MySpace, but hey, you know what? I've watched the Disney Channel a few times, and every time, it's always talking about lying. It's talking about teenagers going on dates. You don't have any business doing that. It talks about all those things that we're trying to guard you against. But they're doing it, but they're doing it in a kid form. They're doing it in a kid form. They've watered it down. They've given you just enough of that poison to make you think that you're not dying. But you are. So let me ask you this question. How can teens avoid premarital sex? The obvious answer is stay a virgin. Abstain. Don't do it! Because sex is a very powerful thing. As a matter of fact, there was a song that talks about want a new drug. And it's referring to sex. And so, first thing stay a virgin. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. 1 Thessalonians 4, 2-4. Okay? Here's something else from a study. This is true. Until recently, society provided teenagers with classroom instruction in safe sex and comprehensive sex education. And these generic curricula failed to provide a strong message to delay sexual activity. As a matter of fact, how many of you have gone through the sex education in your public school? Now, let me ask you this question. How many of those sex education classes actually taught you how to have sex? You go tell me, yeah, you know it. How many schools give out condoms? Yeah, I know. Well, they're going to have it anyway. Here, have some condoms, right? You guys, we know you're going to do it, but so here, we're going to make you have safe sex. You know, just like Jared said it, parents, do not be ashamed to talk to your kids about sex. You need to talk to them about sex. You need to let them know that, one, sex is for married people. Anything outside of sex, outside of the marriage, is a sin before God. You need to let them know that. Okay, now, it says this, that they actually failed to provide a strong message to delay sexual activity. They failed to deal adequately with the long-term emotional and moral aspects of sexuality, and they fail to provide students with the skills needed to develop intimate, loving, marital relationships as adults. Okay, now people are starting to see, I've seen programs where you could take this little baby home, you know, it's like a baby, it's a computerized baby, you know, it cries at certain times of the day, and you have to go and feed that baby. You gotta go change that baby. You got to take care of that baby. And you know what? That baby wakes up at 2 in the morning. Yeah, it does. And why does the baby wake up at 2 in the morning? Gavin, why does the baby wake up at 2 in the morning? You guys just had a baby. Lisa, why does the baby wake up at 2 in the morning? Does she wake up? Why does she do that? She's a baby? Babies do that. She's a baby. Oh, yeah. They cry. And they're trying to teach kids, hey, you have a child, this is what you're going to have to look forward to. You know, that little computerized baby, you can put down this, oh, forget it, it's just a computer. But when it's a real baby, that baby does not stop crying, I guarantee it. I have 5 kids, and none of them stop crying when I ignored them. As a matter of fact, pump up the volume. Okay, that crying, like, what do you want? Okay, that's what you have in store for you, okay? That's why you want to avoid premarital sex, okay? I want you to keep that in mind, okay? Keep that mind, thought in your head. That's the challenge you're going to have. All right, so that's why you want to abstain, okay? Now let's see what we have here. Here's the fact. The epidemic of premarital sex is deeply rooted in today's American culture. But you know what? It's not something that everyone's doing. Okay, one, you know what? There's a lot of young people who have decided, you know what? I'm going to stay a virgin until that time. And I'm going to wait until I'm married. And you know what? And if you look at that person, they are so well adjusted socially because of it. There's some good things to think about that. Now, let's see here. And like I said, sex, this whole sex craze is an American thing. If you go to the Arab countries, they talk about staying a virgin. I've got a friend who's from India. He's like 27, 28, 30 years old. And guess what he is? A virgin. Okay? He's a virgin. And you know what? And he's not ashamed to admit it. He goes, I got this girl over here, and we're both going to wait till we're married. That's in their culture. Okay, so you see, that's why I'm trying to tell you that America is going from the 50s mentality to something totally destructive and very first century Rome-like. Amen. Okay, the images carved in stone that Jared mentioned, you can go right back to the days of Rome, and they're still there. You know, showing orgies, showing all kinds of sexual acts going on. That was their version of pornography. Etched in stone. Guess where else is etched? Right here. Yeah, that's right. That's where influence stays, and it just keeps spinning around, and it starts festering until things happen. Here's what else it says here. Flee sexual immorality. That's how a young person can stay away. Okay, when we say flee immorality, there's going to be times we're also implying that, you know, there will be a situation that you might get into that will compromise what you truly believe in. So you're going to have to flee. But oftentimes, young people have a tendency, hey, you want to go to the movies? You know, you find someone you like, well, you want to do? You want to go to the movies. Okay, you want to go out somewhere where you're alone and intimate. You've got to be careful. So basically what you got to do, you can't put yourself in a position to sin. Sometimes you don't realize it, but you know what? That's why we tell you, that's why we emphasize. I say, if you really like someone, no matter what, I mean, if you really, really like them, what difference does it make if you've gone bowling with them in the whole game? If you really like a girl, if you really like a guy, hey, we're together. We're hanging out together. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. Actually, that's a whole lot more healthy. And that's just, you know, and yeah, it is. And there are memories of, I still remember as growing up with people like Dan and others, we went out as a gang. We had fun. And there were girls there. And that's why we had fun. But it was all right. Because you know what? That girl is right there. Hey, look at her. She looks at you. You both know, hey, I like you. And, you know, I really like you. Will you marry me kind of like you? And, you know, here's one that I like. You know, here's something that's a truly an American classic. Friends with Benefits. Yeah, Friends with Benefits. You know what my version of Friends with Benefit is? Marry your friend. And you'll get a lot of benefits from it. That's Friends with Benefits. This other Friends with Benefits thing, that's just out there to kill you. But hey, marry your friend. It's my friend right there. She's my friend. And you know what? It's great. So, our last point, I'm going to hurry up here, is what does God say about sex in general? You know, we've talked about the consequences of premarital sex. But what about sex itself? We already mentioned in our definition of sex that it's a what? It starts with a G. Gift. It's a gift. It is a gift. Okay, we mentioned all those beautiful intimate things. And since God is our creator and the author of the Bible, you know what? What's that saying that we have as men? When all else fails, read the manual, read the directions. Okay, hey, let's go back to the Bible and find out what it has to say about sex. Now, concerning things which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, premarital sex, let each man have his own wife and each woman have their own husband. There's something going on here in the first century. There's persecution, but the sentiment, it is not good for a man to touch the woman, is right. Okay? But because of fornication, because of premarital sex, get married. What else do we have here? Oh, Song of Solomon. If you want to know what God feels about sexual relations, read the Song of Solomon. And I got a couple that I'm going to read here that are, you know, we can read them. The voice of my beloved. This is the woman talking. Behold, he comes, leaping upon the mountains, skipping on the hills. Behold, my beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. You like that, guys? Young stag, yeah, hey. Behold, he stands behind our wall. He is looking through the windows, gazing through the lattice. My beloved spoke to me and said, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. It's springtime. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines and the tender grapes give a good smell. Rise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the cliff, let me see your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet, and your face is lovely. That's between two married people, by the way. By night, on my bed, I sought the one I love. I sought him, but I did not find him. I will arise now. And I go about the city in the streets and in the squares, and I seek the one that I love. I sought him, but I did not find him. The watchmen who go about the city found me and said, have you seen the one I love? And scarcely I passed by them when I found the one I love, and I held him, and I would not let him go until I brought him to the house of my mother. And it goes on, and you can read the Song of Solomon for yourself. But I will say this, that it's deep. The Song of Solomon is deep, and it talks freely about sexual relations between a husband and a wife. God wants us to be attracted to one another. That's why we have this urge in us. He wants us to have this gift. But remember, it comes with heavy restrictions. Okay, the restrictions. Sex is for who? Come on, married people only. Premarital sex will cause one to be lost for eternity. The devil wants you to be lost. Don't leave the church to find yourself. And don't think that you have your entire life to decide before you repent. Let me just close with these verses. It says, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Therefore, put to death in your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. And he is. Don't kid yourself. In which you yourself once walked. Listen to that. You once walked when you lived in them. And then it says this. And such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And you know, when a good friend of mine got married, I asked him this question. I said, so hey, how you like being married? I always ask young married people that. And he goes, it was worth the wait. And that's what I would like to encourage you young people here today, to keep yourselves pure. Stay a virgin and wait. Now, if you haven't, hope is not lost. Because you know what? We sin all the time. Sexual immorality is just another sin that will send you to hell. It's no different. And where it will send you than lying, cheating, or stealing. Okay? But it will cause you to be lost. Okay, that's why it's good to wait. But you know what? And if you haven't, you're just going to have to. Now, if you've been awakened sexually, you need to go ahead and really fight hard. Because you know what? In the end, we have only two places to go. We can go to heaven or we can go to hell. Now, it's been given to me to provide the invitation. And we talk about heaven and hell. We talk about salvation. And when we talk about salvation, we talk about the plan of salvation, which comprises of hearing the word of God, believing, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ, and being baptized in the watery grave of baptism. And if you, any of you young people would like to or think about getting baptized, I would really encourage you to really sit down and study and make sure that that's what you want to do. We'll study here with you, okay? But we want to make sure that you're ready for that. But there are people here who in the audience who are Christians. And, you know, sometimes sin will overtake us. A good friend of mine always told me that the devil will take you farther than you originally planned to go. He does that all the time. You go, you say, oh, I'm going to sin 1 foot worth, and the devil fast forwards you, and he sends you a mile down the road. And you're like, whoa, what happened? That's the way the devil works. He always works that way. You have an opportunity right now to come forward and repent of sins and to pray for forgiveness and to walk with your God once again while together we stand and sing.